Hello, patrons, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, patrons, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. If you don't know that I'm Sujan and this is James, then why you signed up to our Patreon? You've signed up to give money to people that you don't know. So, James, FPL's open. This is our first ever Patreon special podcast. And so there we go.
We need to work on a Patreon intro. We really didn't discuss that. I was getting ready to go, yep, my name's James.
Yeah. It's also different, like, we're normally when we record, obviously we get thousands of people listening to the show. This is hundreds of people, if that, listening to the show. So it's now, I feel much more like we're having a conversation that's very directly targeted at specific 80 or 90 people rather than having something that needs to go out to everybody. So all of the guys that are in the Slack channel, most of whom we've had a conversation with before, whether it be virtual or not. So this is, yeah, a completely different type of show.
I also feel like we maybe shouldn't treat it that way. We should just treat it
normal,
like,
content.
There are thousands listening to, and it's normal. Yeah. No, because people have supported us, and we're obviously so grateful for being what we're doing. I think if we start changing what we do or anything, it's not us. So yeah, I don't think we need to do my name's James or anything like that. But
the content's still the content, yeah, guys. Yeah. And exactly. We are getting straight into initial thoughts on FPL opening. It opened a few hours ago. The main podcast has gone out, so there's a good hour and a quarter's worth of stuff on there that you need to listen back to.
And there's a big mistake in it.
Well, it was information we didn't know, perhaps, at the time.
This is true.
So, yeah, there's a lot of content in there, but particularly talking around about chips. Now, if you're in the Slack channel, you may have seen that there was an inkling of a rumour that unlimited transfers was going to come out. And we thought we'd share it with you guys if that was going to happen.
What? Hold on. I genuinely was 100% when I got told.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to politically cover ourselves, James. That's why I'm being vague.
It don't matter now. We know that it was right.
Yes. Well, we leaked that little bit of information. And now we know that obviously it's the case. But We have had a little bit of clarification around the use of the free hit chip and your unlimited transfers, which is worth clarifying because I think it throws everybody into almost pretty much the same boat. So if you, in any normal game week, if you use your free hit chip, your team will revert back to exactly what it was at the end of the last game week. We were hoping that you'd be able to make your unlimited transfers, save your team, then activate your free hit, and your team would go back to the team that it was prior to activating the free hit chip. That is not correct. Your team will go back to exactly what it was at the end of game week 29. So the unlimited transfers, if you use your free hit, become worthless.
I wouldn't say it's worthless, but I mean,
well, if you hit your free hit, then you're going to, any transfers that you make,
the free hit's not worthless.
The unlimited transfers, if you use your free hit, your unlimited transfers become a worthless tool to you to use. So anybody that was thinking I can rejig four or five players from my team and then also free hit, you can't. And I was one of those people, so.
You can still free hit and then wildcard straight afterwards.
Correct, but then your unlimited transfers are,
it's a waste.
This is just no value to them.
You've
right
wasted
now.
It, yeah.
Which yeah. Basically means we've been blessed with this opportunity to make unlimited transfers now, so we have to use it as best we can, which essentially means for a lot of people, set your team up for a bench boost in game week 30, and wildcard the other side coming out of it.
Yeah. That seems like the most likely route that I think people are going to take. The reason why the free hit might still be the option is because if you're very happy with the team that you've got, I don't know, you're well stocked with sort of Liverpool Wolves, which a lot of people might well be. Like Liverpool and Wolves, remember we were going to be building towards Liverpool v Palace and Wolves versus Bournemouth. Those would still be the fixtures in game week 31. you might actually feel as, even though the unlimited transfers is there, the free hit might still be the best thing for you. I know what you're saying. You completely lose it and it feels like a waste. And that's how I feel as well. But if you're very happy with what your setup would be for 31, with what you've got, obviously you can ignore it and just do a free hit and you'll land back on what you've got with perhaps the strong options of Liverpool Wolves. So first thing I think really is have a little look ahead. That would be, there's no, you need to look beyond game week 30 to see where your team would land on game week 31. So if you take for me, for example, and one of the reasons you perhaps wouldn't definitely rule it out is, yeah, I would have been sitting there with treble Liverpool, treble Wolves, little bit of Burnley, Watford, and I would have had nothing of Tottenham, West Ham. Those were going to be the four games, weren't they? So I'd have been in a position where, yeah, it's certainly the treble Wolves and treble Liverpool, if people still got that, you might think, actually, yeah, I want to land back on that. Mm-hmm. And therefore, as well as you're saying, okay, you waste the unlimited transfers, if that's where you want to be for that game week anyway, and you felt you needed to wild card back to it, you're actually just wasting the wild card then instead.
Correct. I'm on treble Wolves, treble Liverpool. Jamie Vardy in game week 31 has a home tie against Brighton, which is a very, very good attractive fixture for him. Danny Ings that week is, where are we, Southampton. He's home to Arsenal. It's not the best, but not the worst tie. Kevin De Bruyne's going to stay through so many teams. So I feel like my treble Liverpool, I want to keep. My treble Wolves, I want to keep. My two budget options in Charlie Taylor and Cantwell are the best players at that price that you're going to get. So I want to keep. Kevin De Bruyne is not going anywhere from my team. Jamie Vardy's not going anywhere from my team. And suddenly I am at, okay, Diego Rico, Danny Ings, Decore, Robertson, maybe, like, they're all around the fringes a little bit. So I might actually be in that situation where I don't use anything. I just free hit and then come back to my regular team. I'll only have, obviously, the one free transfer in that week, though, right?
Do you realise as well that so few people will take that route now of free hit and then still being happy with what you've got?
Correct.
And obviously there's a chance you can get there with injuries and whatever and you won't be happy, but
I've got my wild card up my sleeve at that point. I do have my wild card up my sleeve at any point. What it does also allow me, I mean, traditionally you'd always set up your bench boost team, wild card to go into a bench boost to give yourself 30 fixtures, and I still have a wild card and a bench boost. The likelihood of another double game week though is particularly low. But with this double game week, my personal opinion is that it is a little bit of a trap that people will fall into, where they'll focus too heavily on those four teams, disregard some great fixtures for some of the other sides. And yeah, it's I'm happy free hitting, not bench boosting. I don't think having 30 fixtures is what it's all about here.
You can't get to 30, obviously. You can only get to 12 players that would double.
Yeah, 24 plus another 4 or 5. So you'd be at
27.
27
is the most you can get to. And the chance of getting 12 players that are going to double twice is far from locked on, right? Although if you take, for example, Man City have a great little break, right, of 5 days between their two fixtures. Arsenal only the three, Villa the three, and Sheffield United have 4-day break. So I think with Villa, you'd only go for their locked-on players anyway, like Grealish, for example, and a couple of others. Sheffield United are quite locked anyway. Arsenal as well, you generally go in sort of Aubameyang plus one or plus two if you wanted to.
And Man City,
because of the space, actually, there might not be the rotation that we might have expected. So, you know, in that circumstance, I would expect De Bruyne to play twice, probably.
Yep.
I think they only have them 3 days till Chelsea and then another 3 days till Newcastle in the FA Cup, if I remember that correctly. So you could make the case that, yeah, there'll be rotation in the Burnley game because it's the most straightforward on paper. But do we ever really know what Pep's going to do? I think to go back to the actual game week 30 itself, when you say, there are some good fixtures, I'd only just push back on that a little bit and say, are they? So in the circumstance where you might have people who were building to wait, say, towards some Spurs talent. Now, admittedly, that won't have included Kane or Son, obviously. But if you've got in your people like Serge Aurier, for example, knocking about in your squad, do you necessarily want it there for Manchester United? Are you even bothered about having your likes of Fernandes or Martial against Spurs? Liverpool, you obviously people who are built that way will have had at least two Liverpool assets in most cases. Are you that bothered about missing them for the Merseyside derby? And it's at that point, then I think, yeah, I do really get drawn back into wanting to use the unlimited transfers to go further. If you've got Burnley assets you were building that way, perhaps particularly defensively for that Watford fixture, you've now got Manchester City away. Watford have now got Leicester. So where those we were targeting towards the blank game week, I'm not sure that those fixtures are so great. For Wolves, yeah, playing West Ham, fine. But for the others, like particularly Liverpool, Spurs, Burnley, Watford, I think we could do without them assets for the game week. And that's what will push me into it as well. Plus, as I said on the main podcast, I can't get away from the idea that this is the best opportunity and a very rare opportunity as well from a bench boost perspective to actually pick 15 players to go straight into a bench boost. Because unless you do it in game week one, you can't normally do that. You've got to spend that week fretting about, oh, my player's going to stay fit, and do I hold back that one transfer so I can make that move next week, knowing that any injury is going to cause you problems. This is essentially a free hit into a bench boost.
Yeah.
If you go on, if you still got that second wild card and come straight back out of it, and so that I think is my most likely option that I'll be taking.
Yeah, it's tricky at the moment. I mean, the news is so fresh for us. You make a compelling case for it.
No, it's not. I knew it the weekend.
But we didn't know about the free hit bench boost situation, right?
No,
you still have
true.
The same chips as me. Whereas I was very adamant on the free hit, maybe less so now. If you were to bench boost now, are you in a position to reveal the type of squad you're going with, or you're not 100% sure yet?
I would most likely go with 12, and I would hold on to, I think the three I would hold on to would be Trent, Doherty, and Jimenez. So essentially, that would be my bench boost. Is Trent away to Everton, Doherty and Jimenez away to West Ham, and second goalkeeper, whoever that may be, will obviously have two fixtures. And at that point, I think, yeah, worth it. I think it's probably quite a clever trick, unless you've got really serious value built up in a goalkeeper, to go, if you're going with 12 players, go with two goalkeepers from these clubs. Because any one of them at any time could pick up a silly penalty save or something like that, right?
Yep.
That feels better than getting an extra Villa defender in, or an extra Arsenal defender in, for example. So that would be my route, and I'd hold on to value that I've got in those three outfield players from Wolves and Liverpool I suggested. We've obviously got the value built up in De Bruyne. The only one I'd really be sacrificing a good bit of value on is Danny Ings, who is someone that if this whole COVID thing hadn't happened, I would have been selling after the Norwich fixture anyway to get someone else in for blank game week 31. So I was always in a position, even back then 3 months ago, that I was going to be coming off him. So he'd be the only real one. I essentially was up basically 0.1 on nearly everybody in my squad. And I think just take that on the chin.
Yeah. You've got no choice.
That's my thinking. I think one of the things we really should discuss is what to do if you've got no wild card left. Because that's going to be a problem that a lot of people are faced with. And it's going to be very dependent of what you've got in terms of the makeup of your squad, for example. But I think that's one where I would possibly even lean back into the idea of forget the unlimited transfers, just use the free hit if you want to get the maximum out of the game week. Or the other alternative is a little bit like what Adam suggested on COTC is, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to take it as it is and
for
assess afterwards.
Yeah, that's a fair option.
You could obviously still lump in someone like a De Bruyne or an Aguero or an Aubameyang and then go triple captain, for example, instead.
Yeah.
That'll potentially make up some of the losses on a bench boost, perhaps, if you nail it correctly. Difficult one for those who use, as I said, the wild card in sort of 29, 30, stuff like that. I got some sympathy.
That was bad timing and bad luck at the moment. I think I'm going to keep Trent. Well, Trent, Doherty, maybe Vardy and Jimenez are all potentials to stay for me. Vardy, I've got quite a little bit of money tied up in as well. So it's a bit of a difficult one. But yeah, are you thinking Aguero or Aubameyang or both? Yeah, going power in.
Straightforward, yeah. I think I'd captain Aguero out of the two. That's my instincts at the moment. Just because of, again, even if he only plays once, what he could do in either of those two fixtures could be enough, right? KDB is obviously the safe fullback. You expect him to play twice, but he might not. I think for that, Arsenal and Burnley sound like two fixtures where Aguero could go mental, in my opinion.
Yeah, he does have that habit of doing that.
He's got a great record against Arsenal, I'm sure. Mind you, so does Raheem Sterling as well, I think.
Raheem's not going to get that many owners. I do like the idea of potentially finding a few differentials. I wanted potentially to get Pepe instead of Aubameyang, but I don't think I'm going to be able to afford him.
It's the price. I think if you're taking my likely route of unlimited transfers to bench boost to then wild card out, you're going to sacrifice. If you're going sort of Aubameyang, Aguero, holding on to De Bruyne and holding on to value of others, which could be important, I really don't want to sell Trent, for example. That's silly. Then actually coming back and having like a Pepe as well, it's not going to happen. You will find yourself ending up on a Xhaka or even maybe a Danny Ceballos, if he's fit, for example, might be a nice alternative.
Yeah, I don't fancy him.
You are probably going to end up with Tyrone Mings or Target at the back. And that's the decision you have to make in terms of, do you want the unlikely possibility of Villa keeping a clean sheet in two games, for example, over, I mean, is there anyone on the fixtures that day that you would strongly, really, really fancy for a clean sheet from the other fixtures? Liverpool, obviously.
At this time of year, I don't fancy anyone for clean sheets.
No, agreed. There's nothing obvious to then say, no, well, I'll take the chance that, you know, Mings could score from a set piece or something. That would be the ideal perfect scenario. And I'd favour him because as long as he hasn't picked up COVID while he's been out protesting, then he'll play both games, as long as his two legs are attached to him, basically.
Yeah, this is going to be very tricky to balance getting all of these players in, because you're not going to be able to afford all of the players you want, in my opinion, as well. If you wanted a heavyweight triple Man City, or even like you've chucked in Aguero and Aubameyang and Kevin De Bruyne, you're going to have to make sacrifices here or there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'll end up somewhere on like a Xhaka if you want to go for a full complement of 12. Or you might find that little things like having Bulldog Stevens and Henderson, for example, is probably going to be a little bit too much. You will end up sacrificing, not massively, but going for a second choice like an Egan or an O'Connell, for example, just to make those small little savings.
I'm looking at my midfield now, James. I've got my midfield at the moment. Like, take this as a potential team. Edison. I've got McGovern in goal, but I'll find a solution for him. Ender Stevens, Mings, David Luiz, Trent, Doherty. Up front, Aguero, Jimenez and Vardy. That leaves me with a midfield of Kevin De Bruyne, Jack Grealish, McGinn, Fleck and Saka. And that midfield seems very, very, very light. But then I've got Vardy, Jimenez, Aguero up front, David Luiz, Trent, Stevens, Mings, Edison. It's fairly heavy at the back as well.
Yeah,
I don't think people are going to have the budget to be going mental as well with all of the big hitters here.
No, you can't have Luiz, Pepe or Bamiyang and then the three best guys you want from City and still have respectable options like Jack
You just
Grinch
can't, right? It's not
well,
possible.
No. So, yeah, I mean, you can look back at others, certainly. It might be that, for example, I don't know, someone like Todd Cantwell against Southampton might be a better option than two games of McGinn
Saka.
Or a Xhaka or something. But I'm not sure it is, actually. You know, Xhaka,
yeah, I'm not sure.
Xhaka, for
either.
Example, depending on new plays for Arsenal, might be on corners.
I prefer Saka to Xhaka.
If he can nick an assist, for example. Yeah, but then Kieran Tierney's fit as well now, mate. So is Saka going to play twice? You'd be gutted if you went Saka and he only plays Man City away. You might end up on a fucking minus, mate.
Yeah. It could be as bad as the Mane incident from Triple Captain Gates.
The best defensive one from Arsenal would be Leno.
Yeah.
Because of the potential of the save points. But the problem is, I think best defensive from Villa is probably Mings because he'll play twice, but God, don't have more than one. And I think because of what you want up top and then balancing the value of the squad, I think a lot of people will gravitate to two of Aguero, De Bruyne, Sterling, then plus one of Ederson / Laporte. Obviously, the other way of doing it is you're saying you're going perhaps leaving Vardy and Jimenez in. You could go Aubameyang, and then rather than Aguero, you might be able to come down to, say, like Mahrez's level if you fancy the gamble. And then that will really help you on the financials. That extra million and a half or so difference between Mahrez, De Bruyne or something might be what allows you to have a better choice elsewhere. Stop, you know, a Grealish being a Hourihan, for example.
Carl Walker at 5.6 is good value compared to Laporte at 6.3. Laporte at 6.3 is still a heavy amount of money for a defender in an age where there's very few clean sheets.
I think if you're going unlimited and then wildcarding straight back out, my first thoughts probably go Ederson and Leno. And then field of defence with the Villa Sheffield United then, which I know, 11 million keepers, but it's going to be part of a bench boost and then you're wildcarding straight off it.
I think Henderson and Leno does the job nicely if you haven't already got three.
If you've got Henderson early, that's going to be important as well. So say someone like me who hasn't had Dean Henderson, I've now got to pay 5.3 for him. And that small little difference, having had a brief look before we started, is probably going to rule me out of him, actually. As much as I'd like to get him if I was going to wildcard afterwards, because obviously he'd blank against Manchester United in game week 31. So yeah, from that perspective, it wouldn't matter. And I'm not a big lover of the fixtures that Sheffield United have following a double game week either.
Yeah. If you look at Aston Villa, the problem is we don't know who's going to play in goal. Rumours around Tom Heaton potentially coming back to a bit of fitness. Pepe Reina being all over the place.
Adam said he thought Nylam might get in, didn't he?
Yeah. That's a steer clear. So then you're down to Leno, Henderson and Ederson. And I think Henderson and Leno is the two cheaper options. This is potentially where I'll go. But then I'll take Kyle Walker in defence. Kyle Walker, Mings and Ender Stevens would be okay for me. Just free up a little bit of cash anywhere you potentially can.
So what's your thoughts now, strategy?
I might have to play a defensive strategy and actually go with this bench boost and then wildcard out of it on the other side.
I think it's a common mistake I make as well. Say like Vardy, and he does have good fixtures, don't get me wrong, but I feel you are a little hung up on the value there as well.
That's half a million, so it's quite a bit.
I get that. But would you definitely want him back?
Yes.
That's the call you have to make. So when when I sold him when they lost to Norwich that night, I was at that point anyway where I was holding on for the Villa-Norwich fixtures. And once we got the leak that he wasn't playing, I was just getting him out. I was up about a million on him.
I'm really... It's the exit strategy is very important here as well, right? On the other side, is there an exit strategy without a wild card? That's what I'm looking at. So if I can use two free transfers to get away with it. So if I keep five or six players that I'm happy to have in my team anyway, then I'm only having to rotate two or three out to get to where I want to. The some of the substitutions I'm making to bring in players are the fringe and cheapo players, like a Doucouré to Fleck, like Charlie Taylor to Mings. They can go back onto the bench if I want them to afterwards anyway. So with this, I'd come out with Leno, Stevens, Walker, Trent, De Bruyne, Grealish, Fleck, Saka, Vardy, Aguero, Jimenez. I'd have to do some jiggery pokery, but I'd want to get in maybe only three players desperately, Bruno Fernandes being one, and then just beef up the midfield a little bit. So I don't feel like the exit strategy out of this might have to be a wild card as well. I could, you know.
Is it the worst thing if you end up holding on to the assets of these four guys as well?
Nah.
So, I mean, looking at afterwards, obviously City have Chelsea and then Liverpool's not ideal, but with City, you certainly don't fear the Chelsea fixture. Arsenal would then be going into Southampton and Norwich. For Villa, it's Newcastle first. So it's not the worst one to play the budget guys in. And for Sheffield United, it's Manchester United. They're not the worst fixture. And Sheffield United, because of the defensive assets, I think, yeah, play them or don't play them. So is it even optional to go in unlimited? And when we're saying wild card straight off, which would be my instinct, if you've matched it well enough with, say, Liverpool and Wolves, I think you could manage that a week more. And possibly even more again if you've got a nice balance of City and Liverpool. Because obviously in 32, City and Liverpool play each other. That might then be a good point to free hit. And 33, as we mentioned, is where a number of teams seem to have a little bit of a fixture swing. So you can end up carrying through. It's not, if you go through the unlimited, I don't think it's a certainty to wild card out. It depends how you feel.
If you were to free hit in the next game week, you could end up with 22 potential fixtures. And if you were to bench boost, the maximum you can get to is 27. So you're talking about 5 extra fixtures here. I'm just thinking about, okay, 15, that's 50, for me, that's 15 to 20 points over those 5 extra. Average of 3 points per player maybe is fair to aim for, 4 or 4 points per player. If you play your free hit, your budget is concentrated on 11 players. Whereas if you're trying to bench boost, you're going to spread it a little bit more into your bench, and then you're going to have five million pound players rather than 4. So I don't know if I'm going to consider the strategy of a power 11 versus a more finely spread 22.
I like the idea, though, of chip keeping. Essentially, this is a second free hit. If you take the unlimited, dive into the bench boost straight away. It's like having an additional free hit to line up a bench boost. Mm-hmm. Which, to get that opportunity again and manage 2 game weeks. If you've got a wild card straight afterwards, it's like having an additional free hit going in for 1 game week, right? And to line up perfectly for a bench boost. To line up 2 game weeks at the moment, to have great fixtures in both game weeks, and single fixtures to manage for a potential bench boost. I feel it's so much benefits in going down the bench boost in the fact that you also do still hold that free hit. So I'm almost certain to take this route, I think. And I realise having a couple of guys from Villa, Arsenal that I don't particularly want is not going to be ideal, but it's the potential of the ceiling. And when I look at the other teams that have single game day fixtures, am I that enticed to go, I'll slam into, you know, Madison over Grealish? It's a bad example, but you know what I'm saying in terms of comparable values. I don't see anything of the 16 teams that play once without no prior knowledge of what's behind me to make me think I want to go for any of these single game week players over a bench boost. So let's take Mings, right? Mings is 4.4, for example. Got 2 games. Would you prefer to have Mings or, say, Jamal Lascelles against Sheffield United?
Mings.
That's the point, isn't it?
Mm.
Sheffield United are one of the lowest scorers in the league this season.
Yeah.
So we're only looking at their assets defensively, or as we discussed with Tomo, perhaps John Fleck. Or if you really wanted to take a chance on a Billy Sharp or something, but none of us would advise it, right?
No.
So I think, yeah, even in that case, like Mings wins hand, even though Lascelles would have that second game against Sheffield United as well, right? In that circumstance, how could you pick Lascelles over Mings? When they've got the same fixture, and then Mings has got you look at a free swing as the Chelsea fixture afterwards as a second part. Mm. I don't see alternatives at that price to fill in the other bits that I want that's better.
No. This is going to be a little bit of jiggery pokery for the listeners in the next couple of days to figure out what strategy they're going with. If you haven't listened to the main podcast yet, just a reminder, don't start making your transfers and hitting submit yet, because you will lose value. None of the players in the game now are going up or down in value, but any value you've built up or lost will get crystallized if you do make your transfer. So hold fire, play around with it, but then just reset it, write it down on a piece of paper with a pen or whatever makes it work for you before you actually go and commit to what your strategy is going to be.
Just one player to shout out briefly who is a single game player, because I did mean to give him a shout out when I mentioned him briefly on the main pod, such a name that some of the guys might not be too familiar with, James Justin at Leicester. 4.7 million right back, played in the final fixture they had against Aston Villa in game week 29, which was essentially it's his second appearance of the season. He actually played at West Ham when they changed the whole team over that Christmas period.
Yep. Obviously, it'd still be us.
Ricardo Pereira's out for the season, isn't he?
Yes.
But he's a very interesting one, 4.7. Leicester have a sustained run of decent fixtures. So, I mean, again, would you look at someone like him or Soyuncu away to Watford over the two games of Mings?
No.
That's how I feel, mate, yeah. Got to go with the potential of what it could be and stop worrying that it's shit, which it probably will be, but it could be brilliant.
Mm.
That's my feeling.
I hear you. There we go, James. That was our first ever Patreon special for all of you beautiful people that do support the work that we do. Thank you for jumping in. Do jump into Slack. We have a bunch of channels on Slack, either the general or the general channel as opposed to FPL general, and also an FPL channel where you can jump in and talk about what your strategy is going to be in the coming days and weeks. It's been very active on there and we want to keep it that way. So keep interacting with each other. And if you need any help or support, do let us know. The full suite of Patreon podcasts will be kicking off next week. Are we talking about James or the week after?
Well, I was just going to say, there was obviously quite a few questions. Should we do something else a little later?
Yeah, let's do a second one tomorrow if you want. We've done a little half an hour. I think we'll go through the Q&A as well. We can do a separate, another Patreon pod tomorrow.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Cover people's questions off.
Yeah, I'm just having a look here. I think it's more around captaincy and those kind of things. So I think we can do a second Patreon special this week as well, now that everyone's got their idea on what we are thinking with our strategies and stuff.
For the benefit of the patrons, have we decided when we're locking this in as definitely going five Patreon pods a week?
Yeah, that was just what I was talking about. I think the week after the football starts.
Yeah.
So if the football starts on the 17th, it'll be the week commencing the 20 whatever it is, second or something along those lines.
Cool. Tell your mates, guys, all that money that goes in this month still going to the NHS.
Yes, that is true. Up until the 1st of July payment that comes out, everything's still going to charity. At the moment, from Patreon alone, it's like over £600 or something's gone into the NHS pot. And in total, it's over £6,000, which is incredible.
Thank you, guys.
Indeed. You know where to find us if you're a patron. So do message us on Slack or DMs on Twitter and what have you, and we'll be happy to help. Other than that, stay safe. Ciao for now.
I don't know how to end this now. It's weird.
With a sneeze.
Bless you, Sidge. Be nice to each other, everybody. Cue music, man, child.
The Fantasy Football Show.